Savior Jesus Christ. And then on behalf of the session of this church, I would like to wish all fathers a very happy Father's Day. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord strengthen you. And as you continue to play the role of a father in your home, we pray that you may do well and be able to glorify the name of the Lord. And through your testimony, through your example, your children, your family members might be drawn closer to the Lord. Now today, I speak on the subject, Fathers, be like Joshua. Now, you young people may think that this is not applicable to you, but this subject is very applicable to you because someday you're going to get married and the guys are going to be fathers someday. So this subject is very relevant. Now, for the older ones, of course, if you look at the standard that has been set by this great hero of the faith, you may think that you have fallen short. But even if you have fallen short, never mind. Yes, realize that you have fallen short and come back to the Lord and ask the Lord to enable you to try to make good as much as possible so that you will be able to recover some lost grounds that you have made in time past. Now the subject this morning is, Fathers, be like Joshua. Be like Joshua. Now, most fathers, I dare say, do very commendably in providing physically for their household. They bring in the bread, they provide a good education for their children, they provide good health care for their children, and they also provide opportunities for their children to pursue their recreational interests. I think most fathers do commendably well, particularly here in Australia. But I dare say that the biggest failure fathers are guilty of is not to diligently see to the spiritual well-being of their children. I believe that is the greatest failure. The physical and the temporal seem to be uppermost in their minds. And so they get their priority wrong. But what's God's priority for all of us in every area of our life? It is this, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the priority. Yes? So fathers, or fathers-to-be, get this priority right. Now this morning we want to consider this man, Joshua, a great hero of the faith. And I'd like us to think of the leadership of this man over his household. I'd like us to see, first of all, he's making a godly declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then he also, then the other question that we want to think about is how to make this declaration work. So two things. Number one, making a godly declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And making this godly declaration work, to say is one thing, to declare is one thing, to make it work is another thing. Now this account given in Joshua chapter 24, the account that we have just read, actually deals with Joshua at the closing stage of his life. Yes, this man Joshua, after the 40 years wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, of the children of Israel, received the baton of leadership from the great Moses. Remember, Moses led the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. At the close of this wilderness wandering, he passed the leadership baton to Joshua. And God commanded Joshua to lead the children of Israel to go into Israel, to go into the land of promise, to conquer the land of promise. And that Joshua did successfully. And now he had also successfully divided the land among the 12 tribes of Israel, and also had given something like 48 cities to the priestly tribes, the Levites. The campaign to conquer the promised land took something like maybe 15, 20 years or so. So Joshua by now was an old man. The word of God says this, that he waxed old and was stricken in years. Now, before Joshua passed away from the scene, of course he knew that he was going to pass away from the scene, but before he passed away from the scene, he gave this charge to the children of Israel. He said this to them in Joshua 23, verse 11, if you turn to Joshua 23, verse 11. Yes. Joshua 23, verse 11. Let's read that verse together. Joshua 23, 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. So that was the charge that he gave to the children of Israel. Then we go on to Joshua 24, verses 1 to 5, and then 12 to 15, the verses that we read earlier on. But let me read them again for you. Joshua 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for the heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. The other side of the flood refers to the river Euphrates, not the river Jordan, but the river Euphrates. Yes, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, because Abraham, remember, came from the land of Mesopotamia. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and I gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out of slavery from the land of Egypt. Now verse 12. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted not, do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt. Remember, when they were in Egypt, of course, they were exposed to idolatry all the time. So Joshua's command to them, the Lord's command to them, was this, through Joshua. Yes, see that you do not go after all these gods, but serve ye the Lord. And verse 15, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. The Amorites were the Canaanites. All right, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that was the godly declaration that he made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now notice what Joshua said. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, my house, as for my house, we will serve the Lord, and left out me. No, he did not leave out me. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if he had left out the word me and just said, as for my house, we would serve the Lord, it might be taken that he was not owning up responsibility for the leadership of the children, for his household. Yes, but he said, as for me and my house. Yes, he assumed leadership for his household. My dear friends, he realized that he was accountable for the spiritual leadership over his household, not his wife, not other members of his home, but he. Yes, and he was prepared to be held accountable, and he was committed to being accountable. My dear friends, the man, the father, is to be held accountable for the spiritual leadership of his household. Yes, the husband is accountable for the spiritual leadership of his household. And he's also accountable for the spiritual leadership not only of his children, but of his wife also. Now, this teaching is very, very clear. It is given to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. If you could, very, very quickly, turn to Ephesians 5, 23, but keep your finger at Joshua 24. Ephesians 2, 5, 23, but keep your finger at Joshua 24. Ephesians 5:23. Let me read this verse to you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So it is clear, the husband is to be the head of his entire household, his children, and his wife also. Joshua knew that he was accountable, and he was committed to being accountable to the Lord for the spiritual well-being of his household. Now, the great patriarch understood this truth also, understood this teaching also. He was very, very concerned about the spiritual well-being of his sons. Yes, so much so that he very, very diligently presented offerings, burnt offerings unto the Lord for his sons. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was very, very wary, very fearful that his sons might sin against the one true living God. He was very much in care for the spiritual well-being of his children. And so we read in Job chapter 1, you don't have to turn to that, but I read that passage for you, Job 1 verses 4 and 5. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning. You see, he rose up early in the morning, not late. All right, early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He was very, very concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children. What about you, fathers here? Are you very, very concerned about the spiritual well-being of your children? Are you? Now today, we of course don't offer sacrifices unto the Lord, because the sacrifice has been made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There he shed his precious blood to cleanse us of all our sins if we would come to trust in him as Lord and Savior. Yes, we don't make sacrifices, but fathers, do you pray for your children? You say, yes, I pray for my children. But friends, do you really pray for your children? And I mean diligently, faithfully, do you pray for them? Do you pray that they will come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if they have not already done so? Or you say, I leave this to the Sunday school teacher. I leave this to the church to do it. But friends, fathers, it is your responsibility. The Lord will hold you accountable. It is your responsibility to bring the gospel to your children. Do you pray for them? If they have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you pray for them, my dear friends? And I mean pray diligently, faithfully, earnestly. Do you pray for them? And do you pray that they will be kept in the most holy faith? Do you pray that they will not forsake the Lord when they grow up? Do you pray for them? Now, I'd like us to see that Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He began with whom? As for me, as for myself, yes, we will serve the Lord. His relationship, he realized that his relationship with the one true living God must be right. Now, if his relationship with the Lord was not right, how could he lead, provide spiritual leadership to his children? Of course he could not. So he made sure that his spiritual leadership with the Lord was right. The Lord must be his master. That's why he said, as for me and my house, the Lord must be his master. The Lord must be his Lord. And he must be the Lord's servant. And indeed, he was the Lord's servant. We read at the close of the book of Joshua, there was this thing written on his tombstone, Joshua. Or not on his tombstone, but rather these words were said of Joshua. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Indeed, he was a servant of the Lord. Joshua realized that he must show the way to his household to worship the one true living God. He must show his household the way to serve the Lord. he must set the example for them to follow. Next, let us see that he didn't say, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." But rather he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." No, he wasn't just thinking about himself serving the Lord. Yes, but that unfortunately is the case with some people. They appear to be very consumed by their service to the Lord. They appear to be very zealous, appear to be very sacrificial in serving the Lord. But in the course of their so-called serving the Lord, they neglect the spiritual well-being of their children. And because of this neglect, their children become wayward when they grow up. My dear friends, dear fathers here, let this never be your case. Now you could be very, very zealous in the service of the Lord. Good! Be zealous in the service of the Lord. But understand this truth. Now your service for the Lord also includes your providing spiritual leadership to your children. That is service unto the Lord also. So friends, be zealous, be diligent in serving the Lord in the church. Good. But also be zealous and be diligent in serving the Lord in your home by providing the spiritual leadership that the Lord requires you to provide. Next, let us see whom Joshua led his household in serving. Joshua recognized the kind of danger the children of Israel would be facing. Now, what was the danger? The danger was that they would go after other gods. That was the danger. And then the other danger was that they would intermarry with the Canaanites. They would intermarry with the unbelievers and then follow the gods of their spouses. So because of that, Joshua was very, very concerned. And therefore he gave them this charge, the verse that we read earlier on. See that you do not go after other gods. See that your children do not go after other gods. But Joshua put it in a very positive way. He says in Joshua 23:11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Which means, of course, they were not to go after other gods. Yes. So Joshua was very, very concerned about the spiritual well-being of his household. He made sure that they would not go after other gods. Now, likewise, you fathers, guard your children against going after other gods. Now, the gods in the ancient world of Joshua and of the children of Israel were, of course, the gods of the Canaanites, the gods on the other side of the river Euphrates, the gods in Egypt. Of course, those were the gods. But in modern Australia, the God that will take your children away from the Lord will be the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, even Satan. My dear friends, he is that God that will take your children away. And surely Satan, the evil one, is represented by many forms of worldliness. Yes, he's represented by many forms of worldliness. Now, are you not concerned, fathers, I ask you, are you not concerned that your children will go after the way of the world? Are you not concerned? Now, what is worldliness? As I said many times before, it is really hard to define worldliness. But the Word of God definitely has this to say about worldliness. I'd like us to look at James chapter 4, verse 4. All right, look at this verse and take note of this verse. James 4, verse 4. James 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. My dear friends, do you not understand this? If your children become friends of the world, what do they become? They become enemies of God. I didn't say this, the Word of God says so. If your children become friends of the world, they become enemies of God. Surely you love your children very, very dearly. And surely, my dear friends, you do not want your children to become enemies of God. Yes, in fact, if they are friends of the world. If they are friends of the world, they are indeed enemies of the one true living God. Now, but what is worldliness again? Now, as I said before, worldliness, roughly or broadly speaking, is anything. Worldliness is anything that takes us away from the one true living God. And let us not think that worldliness must necessarily be something that is outside of us. No, my dear friends, worldliness is actually in us. Right, when we read these truths in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the two familiar verses I read for you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Worldliness is in us. And worldliness is represented by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They are in us. Worldliness is in us. Money is not worldly, but it is the love of money that is worldly. Yes, it is the consuming desire in us to have what the Joneses have, which we do not have, that is worldly. It is the consuming desire to possess the things that we see in the shop. Consuming desire, that is worldly. It is the consuming desire to own the cars that our neighbors drive, own the houses that our neighbors live in, that is worldly. My dear friends, yes, it is this must-have desire that is worldliness. My dear friends, do we have this must-have desire? I think many of us have this desire, right? The must-have desire. And if you have that must-have desire, or I must have that desire, I have that must-have desire for things around us, material things, or many things in life, my dear friends, very often that must-have desire is really worldliness. Friends, we must guard our children against the worship of the God of this world. And needless to say, we must set them the example. I'll touch on this later on. All fathers, as Joshua assumed responsibility for the spiritual leadership for his household, so must you assume that leadership. Let this declaration be your declaration. It was his declaration. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My dear friends, make that your personal declaration. Yes, fathers and all young people, your fathers-to-be, make this declaration, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it is one thing to talk about this declaration, but it is quite another thing to make this declaration a reality. It is quite another thing really to give substance to this declaration. It is quite another thing to have this declaration as your practical living for your household. Now, I will go on to the next part of my message, which is this, making this declaration work. Yes, make it something, a way of life in your home. Yes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How? First of all, practically, and not theoretically, practically recognize the importance of this position of providing spiritual leadership for the family. Recognize that you are the head of the family, not by chance, not by accident, but it was God who appointed you to be the spiritual leader in the home. Yes, it is true, Christ is the head of the home, but you are the sub-head. Christ is the shepherd of the home, but you are the under-shepherd, yes? Now, it is your duty. It is your duty to make sure that your home is a home, and not just a home, but a spiritual one also. I think I could have told you this before about this class of children who was given the assignment by their teacher to draw a home, draw a picture of a home. I'm talking about a group of small little children. And all practically all the children drew a house, Children will do that, right? You ask them to draw a home, they will draw a house with a roof, two windows and a door. Some would draw big houses, some would draw small houses. And that was the case, right? Some drew big houses, some drew small houses. But there was one little boy who drew not a house, but he drew a picture of a table, or a dining table, with daddy seated at the head of the table, mommy seated at his right hand, and the children seated around the table. He said, "That's home." Was he right? Of course he was right. And it's wonderful to know that the child also understood that the mealtime was a very, very important time for the family. It was the time for the family to gather. Indeed, mealtimes are important times for making a home a home. And surely, mealtimes are great opportunities for fathers to make their homes spiritual. Fathers, take advantage of this very, very opportune time for you to make your home a spiritual home. How? Of course, by having family worship at the dining table. Now, I have a relative who worked very hard when he was young. Yes, his wife was also a career woman. And my relative is now retired. This relative of mine was actually very zealous in serving the Lord in the church. But because husband and wife were caught up in earning a living, they hardly took advantage of the meal times that they had to make the home a home and to make it a spiritual one. So father would eat at one time, mother would eat at another time, children would eat another time. They didn't eat together, yes? But very, very thankfully and mercifully, the Lord has spared this family. The children all grew up to become responsible adults. And are they spiritual? Yes, quite spiritual. But the question is, can they be more spiritual? The answer is yes, of course. And I dare say that if this relative of mine had seen to it that the family had come together for meals and that they had family worship at mealtime, worship the Lord at mealtime, and make the meal not just a physical one but a very spiritual one, the children no doubt will grow up to become very, very spiritual adults. So, my dear friends, to make this declaration, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Work, fathers, see to it that you bring your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I dare say, fathers, you fail miserably. You fail miserably if you neglect to bring your children to the Lord as of a tender age. Yes, you do. You fail. You know why you fail? You fail because your children are the only possession that you can bring along with you to heaven. Did you realize that? All the things that you have in this world, your houses, your cars, your possessions, whatever you have, your precious things and so forth, you can't bring them along with you. Naked we came into this world, for sure naked we are going to leave this world. But the only possession that you can bring along with you to heaven are your children. Do you realize that? Yes. So see to it that you bring your children to the Lord. See that they understand the truth of the gospel, and as early as possible, be the one to bring your children to the Lord. So I ask you, what have you done? And what are you doing to try to lead your children to the Lord? Now, here's a finding that all parents should take note of, all right? This was some kind of a survey that was done in this particular congregation. This was a big congregation. This congregation found that where both parents were faithful to the Lord and they were both actively serving in the local church, 93% of the children remained faithful to the Lord. They didn't depart from the faith. That is a high percentage, 93%. On the other hand, if only one of the parents was faithful, the other one not so faithful, serving the Lord not so faithful, the figure dropped down to 73%. So 93%, both faithful, one partner very faithful, the other one not so, 73%. and where the parents were only what we call reasonably active in the church. Not really active, but reasonably active in the church. Only 53% of the children continue to be faithful to the Lord. Now here comes the hard truth. In those cases where both parents attended the church service infrequently, in other words, they were not regular at the worship service, only 6% of the children remain faithful to the Lord. So these statistics are very, very telling. Yes, understand this truth. If both husband and wife are faithful to the Lord, serving the Lord faithfully in the local church, the percentage of success of bringing up your children in the Lord is 93%, very high percentage. So, my dear friends, I urge you, husband and wife, and you, the husband, provide the leadership. Make sure that husband and wife serve the Lord actively in the local church and be very faithful, and trust the Lord to enable you to bring up your children, and you are going to have good success in bringing them up. And then fathers, your role is to lead your children to serve the Lord as Joshua did. So how? Train them. Yes, nurture them, counsel them, discipline them, encourage them in the Lord, exhort them. Now, what have you been doing to nurture and admonish them in the way of the Lord? What are you doing, fathers, in nurturing and admonishing your children? I'm afraid that many a time it is a case of abdication. So the father abdicates the role and passes the role to whom? The wife, of course. Yes, the father abdicates the role. Now, we have actually possibly an example of this in the Word of God. You remember the case of Timothy. Now, young Timothy was picked by the great Apostle Paul to serve the Lord because the Apostle Paul saw great spiritual qualities in this young man. And he attributed these great spiritual qualities that this young man had to the upbringing of whom? By whom? By grandfather and by father? No, by grandmother and by mother. Grandmother Louise and mother Eunice. All right? Yes. Now, then you have to ask, where were the father and grandfather? That possibly they could have died when Timothy was born or when Timothy was very young, they could have died. But if they were around, my dear friends, still alive, what were they doing when Timothy was growing up? They were abdicating their roles as spiritual leaders in the home. They left the spiritual education of this boy, Timothy, to whom? Yes, to grandmother and to mother. And so we read in 2 Timothy 1:5, I read for you this verse, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Louise and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also," not in his grandfather, not in his father, but in grandmother Louise and in Eunice. So, friends, apparently the male figures in the home had abdicated their roles. Fathers, make sure that you do not abdicate your role in nurturing and admonishing your children in the Lord. If you don't nurture them, you don't admonish them when they are young, you may have to pay for your negligence. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the case of this man called Eli. Eli was the priest serving in the tabernacle at Shiloh. Now, he had two sons who were serving as priests, but they were very, very wayward priests. Yes, they were very immoral. You see, the offerings that were brought into the temple into the sanctuary, yes, part of it was actually for the Lord, dedicated for the Lord. But these two wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, took the good part that was for the Lord, for themselves. They stole that part, which was not meant for them, but meant for the one true living God. That part was to be burnt up. So you see how immoral they were. And not only that, they slept with the women who came to the gate of the tabernacle. And this complaint was lodged to Eli. Eli got to know about it from the people. I read for you 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 24. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons Hophni and Phinehas did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, to the two boys, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. He just gave them a scolding, that's all. A very, very soft scolding, I dare believe. And I dare say that this priest Eli, had probably neglected in nurturing and admonishing his sons when they were young. Yes, he didn't discipline them enough. If he did, yes, there would be a very, very good possibility that his two sons would grow up to fear the Lord. Now then, if he had been stronger in his stand when he heard this bad report about his two sons, what should he have done? Just scold them? No, my dear friends, he should have taken sterner action. He should have disciplined them. He should have gotten rid of them from the priestly office. He should have done that, but he did not do it. Now, I actually saw this happening one day in Singapore some years ago. It was a shopping center, and then there was this young couple leading a boy into the shopping center. Yes, then they were just at the entrance when the boy started bawling, yes, crying, shouting. And the next thing I saw was, yeah, he was struggling and he was kicking the father, kicking hard at the father. You know what the father did? I was shocked to see what the father did. He thought it was a big joke. He just laughed when the son kicked him. He just laughed. I say, he didn't care to discipline the son. What kind of a man would this little boy grow up into? He's likely to be selfish, very, very self-centered, and he's very, very likely to have no respect for authority at all. This couple, like most couples in Singapore in those days, I think it's the same today, were probably very, very busy making money and therefore had no time for their children. And so when it came to disciplining the children, they felt that they shouldn't be disciplining because they would have felt very, very guilty in disciplining their children because they spend so little time with their children. My dear friends, fathers, how much time do you spend with your children? Yes, you neglect their spiritual upbringing, you are going to pay for your neglect someday. Now, I urge you, spend time with your children. Teach them spiritual things. Yes, teach them the way of the Lord. So how can you make this declaration work? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lead your family in family worship. Teach the children how to worship the Lord. Teach the children the word of the Lord. Now the passage that we read, Deacon Anthony read with you in the responsive reading, is a very, very appropriate passage for us to read. Again, I'd like us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. This was the instruction given to the children of Israel from the one true living God through the great Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. I read for you these three verses. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. These words that I command you, words command you this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach these words diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So everywhere, there must be the word of God in the home. In other words, the home must be saturated with the word of God. That's your duty, my dear friends, to see that your home is saturated with the word of God. You see, the word of God is spiritual food. If we want to grow, we must feed on the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Help your children to understand the word of God as of a tender age. Help them to understand as of a tender age that if they wanted to grow up and to be successful and prosperous, particularly in spiritual things, which of course will lead them to be prosperous and successful in many other things in many areas in their life, they must necessarily meditate on God's word day and night. Joshua 1:8 says it very, very clearly. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Teach them this truth, friends. Teach them to meditate on God's word as of the time they were young, or they are young. Now, we have many helps, actually. We have the Read and Pray Grow Notes. Did you know that we have the Junior Read, Pray, Grow Notes? Yes, why don't you read with them, the Junior Read, Pray, Grow Notes? Read with them. Teach them how to understand the Word of God. Teach them the things of the Lord. And then also we have the Remembrancer, our daily reading. Why don't you read the daily Remembrancer with them? It is not difficult to understand. Now, if they don't understand, explain to them. Yes, help them to understand. Then, to make this declaration work. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Teach your children how to pray. Teach them to give thanks unto the Lord for God's grace and for God's mercies. And teach them to give thanks for everything, everything. Teach them to have a forgiving spirit. Teach them how to love. Teach them how to relate. But friends, how can you teach them all these things when at dinner time, instead of reading God's word and teaching them how to worship the Lord, at dinner time you talk bad about other people? Yes, and you are very, very critical about other people at dinner time. How can you do that, friends, to teach them the things of the Lord? Hard. Impossible. Now, I read of this eulogy written by this man. And by the way, he was not even a believer. Yes, but he understood the power of example. And he wrote this eulogy of the father at the funeral. He said this: summing up my father's life, I keep coming back to one thought. Never will you meet a man who more faithfully lived his values. His father lived his father's values. Yes, he didn't just talk. He walked the talk, in other words. My father was a teacher of all things. His method was simple. What was the method? He taught by example. At any age, when faced with an ethical dilemma, after reflection, study, or even rationalization, I find myself coming back to one simple question. What would Daddy do in such a situation? What would Daddy do? That was the question that always came to his mind. Yes, his character is the foundation of my conscience. My father's teachings are endless. Let me share a few. My father was strong in body, in spirit, and in commitment. He never missed a single day of class from kindergarten through high school graduation, his perfect attendance award being the one honor he remembers receiving as a child. See how commitment his father was to attending school. From the day he was in kindergarten till the time he graduated from high school, he never missed a single day of school. That was the kind of commitment his father had. He learned this kind of commitment from the father. My father never let another man down. He fulfilled every obligation he undertook. His word was his bond, and everyone knew it. I never heard him utter a lie nor intentionally deceive. My dear friends, that was the kind of legacy this man left for his son, his example. So I ask you, fathers, what kind of legacy will you leave behind for your children? Will it be a great spiritual example that you will leave behind when you pass away from the scene? I trust, my dear friends, you will leave that wonderful legacy to them, for them to treasure and for them to apply. Now, as you think of many things you must do to nurture and to admonish your children in the Lord, remember that the most effective way of teaching them is to teach them by example. Like Joshua, dear fathers, may I urge you to make this declaration, as he made: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On this day, Father's Day, make this declaration. But let this declaration not just be empty words, but make it work. Recognize that your role as the head of the home is not something that is an occurrence by chance, but rather you are appointed to be the head of the home. Don't abdicate your role. God has appointed you to fulfill that role. Nurture your children, admonish them, which of course includes disciplining them in the Lord. Teach them how to worship the Lord. Teach them how to give thanks unto the Lord. Teach them God's word. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to meditate on God's word. And make them realize that if they want to be successful and be prosperous in their lives, particularly in spiritual things, which of course will lead to success and prosperity in many other areas of their life, they must necessarily meditate on God's word. Teach them how to love. Teach them how to forgive. Teach them how to relate. Teach them faith. And the best way to teach them is to teach them by example. And friends, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot give them this example. Yes? So, what do you do if you are not a believer yet? Why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? And be the spiritual head that the Lord wants you to be. If when you get married, or today if you are a father, yes, be the spiritual example that the Lord wants you to be. And you can only be that if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today? Acknowledge Him as your Lord and God, and make this declaration for yourself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, thank you for your kindness, and thank you for your goodness. O Lord, we thank you for fathers, we thank you for the great sacrifice that they have made in bringing their children up. But Lord, this morning we pray that all fathers may be able to make this declaration as Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And be willing to assume this role of spiritual of playing the role of spiritual leaders in the home. We pray, O Lord God, that all fathers may be able to play this role well in following hard after you and by setting a good example for their children and the family to follow. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased to bless your people today. As we seek you, we pray that you will help us to know what your word is and to obey it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.